If this is your first time with us at Vision Church this morning, we want to make you welcome, and we want to thank you for taking the time to come out here and worship with us. If you've never been here before, you'll quickly find out that we're not about doing church, but we are about engaging the presence of the living God. Church can't do anything for us, but the power of God's Spirit can do more in your life in 1 second than church can do in a lifetime. Aren't you glad today that He's alive and well? If you have your Bibles, flip with me to Proverbs chapter 29, beginning in verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, beginning in verse 18. And this morning, I want to give God all the honor, Him all of the glory, and Him all of the praise for everything that's happened so far today and everything that's going to happen in the remainder of today's service. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. This morning, we're going to be talking about the vision behind Vision Church. I'm going to be taking a few minutes today, and the message is going to be a little bit different than what you're used to, because I'm going to tell you some stories, and then I'm going to preach a little bit to you. So we're going to go back and forth between the two. We're going to apply God's word through the story of Vision Church and what the Lord has brought to fruition in this place. Vision Church is all about this verse in Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And if that's true, then where there is a vision, and where there are people with a passion, and where there are people with life, and people with a direction, then there must be life. If without vision there is death, with vision there is life. Our church exists not to be a country club, not to be a group of young people, not to be just a group of one or the other. Our church exists so that those who are spiritually dead and far from Christ Jesus will come and find the glory of God and His salvation power that's at work in this place. Vision Church exists for the dead to come to life. For where there is vision, there is life. Now, in order for you to understand fully the spectrum of this church and our vision and our purpose for being in this city, we got to press the rewind a little bit, and you got to get to know just a little bit of how it came to be. And I promise I'm not going to do story time all morning, so just hold in there. We're going to get to the message as well. But ever since I was 13 years old, I have been saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And if you had known me then and you knew me now, you would understand that it is an absolute miracle that the Lord could do anything with my life. Paige is my cousin, so she can witness to that. So it is an absolute miracle. And I'm going to tell you something. It's from the time I was a 13-year-old young man. I'm 26 years old now, and I'm just going to take a little time out real quick. I'm 26 years old, and I have a vision, and I've had a dream to do this. And along the way, there have been people, many who have been naysayers, and who've said, you're too young, you're not married, you don't have enough life experience, on and on and on and on and on. And how many of you know, anytime God gives you a dream or a vision, there will be some haters that spring up quickly. Always going to be haters. Wherever there's a dream, there's going to be haters. Well, I just want to let you know, and I just want to set the record straight for you this morning. If those were the criteria by which you were worthy or able to do ministry, then Jesus Christ Himself, 2,000 years ago, would not have been qualified or worthy in man's eyes to do ministry, because He was single and He was young and the Spirit of God was in Him. Because it's not about the man, but it's about the message. It's not about the person, it's about the Spirit of God that is alive in them. You hear me? So you can hate all day, people can hate all night, but I'm not going to quit, because where there's a vision, we're going to make a way. So you have to understand a little bit about this, because we're a little bit different than everybody else. Now, from the time I was a 13-year-old, I have always been, and this is going to sound a little weird, but I've always been consumed with the thought of God, and I've always been almost preoccupied or obsessed with the purpose that God created me for. I've always had an awareness, a longing, an urgency. I've always been a dreamer. I've always dreamed of doing great things for God, and I've always dreamed of Him using me to do God knows what. I'm far from perfect. I have been far from perfect from the day I breathed my first breath. And the fact that God can use me and the fact that God can bring a dream to life through me is evidence that he can do the same thing, if not greater, through you. God does not require you to be a perfect person. He wants to dare you to dream again today. He wants you to be a dreamer this morning. And while I was a young man, a really young man, I had always had this dream that God would use me to preach to hundreds of people. It's like this generic preacher dream, that I would be the next Billy Graham and travel. And from the time I was 13 years old, all I wanted to be was an evangelist. My dream, my plan, my goal, what I wanted to be was an evangelist, because they've got the easy job. They come in, they preach, and then they leave, and the pastors have to clean up the mess. I might have had it right at 13, but no, I'm just kidding. But from the time I was 13, I had this dream that's the kind of thing I was going to do, that God was going to use me to do something like Billy Graham did, to touch hundreds of people and thousands of people. And that was my dream. That was my dream. And I never dreamed in a million years as a young man that God would ever call me to be a church planner. I never dreamed in a million years that God would call me to plant a college ministry, to plant a church. I never dreamed it, not in a million years. But there is a major difference between a dream and a vision. And this morning, we're going to take a look at what that difference is. Because this morning, there are many of you who are sitting in this place today, and you're a dreamer. God has given you dreams. He's given you imaginations of what you're going to do. He's given you a little light, a little insight on your future and your destiny. There are some of you in this place today, and you carry and you live with a dream that is constantly on your mind, a dream of becoming somebody great. Maybe your dream is to be a great mother or a great father. Maybe your dream is to be an NBA player or an athlete or something. Whatever your dream is, you have to understand that there is a vast difference between a dream and a vision. God has given many of us dreams. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we're going to take a look at what is the difference between a dream and a vision. Before we read Genesis 37, I want to tell you really quickly that dreams can come from three places. Tell the person sitting to your right, dreams can come from three places. Say it louder. Don't be scared. Say it loud. And if nobody's on your right, look at the person on your left. Dreams come from three places. Thank you, Kenna. Dreams come from three places. And I bet you can guess what those three places are. Number one. Dreams can come from God. In Genesis chapter 37, we see a clear illustration that God gives Joseph a dream. It is a dream that sheds a little bit of light into his promise, that sheds a little bit of light into his destiny. God gives dreams. He absolutely uses dreams, visions. He uses them to communicate his purposes and his missions on the earth. So just like God can give dreams, so can the devil. Satan can also give dreams. You say, no, I don't believe that. Anybody ever had a nightmare? He can jack up your mind. If God allows him, he can interrupt your dreams. Dreams can come from three places. They can come from God. They can come from Satan, which I know people in this culture have a hard time imagining that there's a devil. Well, just to shed a little bit of light on that, he doesn't run around with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. It's not that kind. The Bible says that he is mysteriously beautiful. The Bible says that he was the most attractive angel heaven had ever seen. He comes in the form of light with deception and influence, but his ways lead in death and destruction in the grave. The devil is very much real and alive in our world today. Don't discount the fact that he's not real. He would rather you think he's not real, but he is. Dreams come from three places: God, the devil, or where's the third one come from? Any ideas? You. Dreams can come from you. Dreams can spring up from your own selfish ambition, from your own selfish motivation, from self-glorification. There is a thing that you and I struggle with until we meet Jesus, and that is called the flesh. And the flesh has a mind and a will and a passion of its own. It has a drive. It is ambitious. It longs for glory. It longs for fame. It longs for recognition. It longs to be higher than the next person. It longs for its pride to be satisfied and fulfilled. And when dreams come from you, they're often not from God. Now, dreams come from three places: God, the devil, and you. That means that you have two out of three chances that your dream doesn't come from God. I know I just hurt your feelings. You with me? Dreams come from three places. But then as soon as I was like, well, two-thirds of them aren't from God, you're like, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. God begins, listen to me, God has a plan for your life, and no one alive on the planet can take your place. There's not one person who is like you. There's not one person who's called to the same thing as you. There is no one that can take your place. Your calling is divinely inspired by God, and it is absolutely crucial and important to Him that you live it to the fullest and that you would experience it with your life. But fulfilling your destiny starts with understanding the difference between your dream and God's vision. Dreams can come from three places. Two of the three are not from God. So before you and I start acting on our dreams, before we start randomly picking our majors or deciding who we're going to marry or all these other major important decisions in our life, before we just go start making decisions and calling the shots, we first must examine, where did my dream come from? Ladies, a lot of you dream to get married. I'm going to rewind, correct that. Not a lot, all of you. At least all that I've met. Women are dreamers. Y'all act like it's just the men, but y'all are dreamers. Dreamers. But you better not make the impulsive decision. You better check where your dream comes from. Now, this morning, I'm not going to preach much longer on dreams, but it's important for you to understand this. Not only can dreams come from three places, but there are also three ways to check if your dream really came from God. You ready? Anybody? Is this going to help anybody? Figuring out their life, navigating the chaos of life. How in the world can I make sure that the dream that I carry, the dream that is closest to my heart, how can I make sure that it's from God? Number one. Very simple. Does it align with the Word of God? God will never call you to something that is contrary to His Word. God will never call you to go out and do something that is the blatant opposite of what Jesus did. Not going to happen. If your dream aligns with the Word of God, then your dream, that's a good indication that your dream is from God. Let me just give you a little insight here. We look at the Bible, all 66 books of it, two testaments, Old Testament, New Testament, 40 different authors, 1,800 years. We look at this book and we get all overwhelmed by it. There's so many ways to go and there's so many things to read. How can I make sure that my vision really matches the Word? How can I make sure that it aligns with the Word? Because I'm going to tell you something real easy. The Word of God is about a couple things. You know what it's about? Christ Jesus, the King and Savior of the world, being exalted and glorified. And it's also about humanity that is dead spiritually, coming to the newness of life because of Him. It is all about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. It is all about glorifying God the Father through His Son, Christ Jesus. The Bible is all about that. And so if your vision or if your dream, the end result of it, glorifies God and not you, then it aligns with His Word. God is all about the glorification of Jesus, and He's all about the salvation of the lost. And you can sum it up right there. There's a lot to it, but you want it in a nutshell, and there it is. Does your vision align with those things? Does your dream align with the Word? Number two, how do I make sure that my dream is from God? Does your dream ever go away? Because dreams that are from God keep showing up in your life. Dreams that are from God won't go away easy. Dreams that are from God will continually show up again in your future. Don't believe me? Great. I already had you open. Genesis 37, beginning in verse 5. Genesis chapter 37, beginning in verse 5. This is talking about the life of Joseph and how God reveals to him a glimpse of his destiny through a dream. Genesis 37, verse 5. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing them to hate him even more. What did I tell you a second ago? Dreams are going to cause some haters. You got some haters in your life. That means you must be chasing God's dream. Verse 6, listen to this dream, he announced. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. My bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it. Continuing on in verse 8. So you're going to be our king, are you? His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and what he said. Look at verse 9. Then Joseph had another dream. Say that with me. Joseph had another dream. When God gives you a dream, that sucker is not going away. When God gives you a dream, it is going to haunt your life until you start to put it into motion. When God gives you a dream, it is something that you will not be able to escape or sweep under the rug. How do I know that my dream came from God? Number one, does it align with his word? Number two, does it go away or does it keep showing up in your heart and in your life? Because the dreams that come from God are dreams that never go away. The Bible also goes on to say that God gives man the desires of his heart. That doesn't mean that God's going to give you a Cadillac because you desire a Cadillac. It means that God places the desires inside of your heart that result in his glory. And if you follow those desires that glorify him, you will follow the direction and the path that God has for your life. That was free. That wasn't one of the three ways to check. Third way to check. Y'all bored? Anybody bored? Okay, it's okay. I won't be offended. It won't be the first time. At least you're not asleep, so that's good. How do I know my dream is from God? Check the source. Number one, does it align with the word? Number two, does the dream ever go away? And number three, now here's the part that nobody likes. Share it with other believers and listen to their response. One of the best ways that you can verify if the direction of your life is truly going to glorify the Lord is to share your dream with people that are other believers that you trust and that you hold dear to your heart, because they will tell you the truth. By the way, don't go asking a bunch of yes men. Don't go to the people that you know are going to tell you yes. Oh yeah, everything's great. Okay, just a little official timeout. How many of you know we need some real friends in this world that we live in? Can I get an amen for we need some real friends? And you know what? A real friend is not always going to pat you on the back. A real friend is not always going to make you feel good. A real friend sometimes will shoot some holes through your idea that you thought was perfect, because they don't want to see you fall. They don't want to see you jack it up. They want to see you succeed when you step into the light. Be a real friend. Don't just tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Speak truth over other people's life. And as you share your dream with other people that are believers, they will confirm the calling is from God. Another difference between dreams and visions is that dreams are often abstract. Dreams shed just a little bit of insight towards your promise. Dreams shed just enough insight to your destiny, but dreams don't give you the detail to execute it. You're looking at me like, what? Joseph, Genesis 37, what was his dream? His dream was, I had a dream, and all these bundles of hay gathered around mine and bowed low before it. Is that clear, concise, and detailed? That is weird. You read that, you're like, what? You think God's calling you to the mission field or to farm or something? See, I would have, if I was interpreting that dream, I would have wrecked it. Wrecked it strong into the ground. Dreams are abstract. The dream that God gives you, the dream that God gave me, I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to tell the world of the goodness of Jesus. I want you to go to the end of the nations and preach the gospel. I had the dream, but it was abstract. It was just a piece of the puzzle. It wasn't how to get there. Your dream is just a piece of the puzzle. Your dream is abstract, and it offers insight. And even if you think your dream is detailed now, let me tell you and promise you and assure you of one thing. The vision that God will give you to confirm your dream will be way more than you could have ever thought, asked, or imagined. We serve a big God who is great and greatly to be praised, a God who is infinite, and a God who will call you to the great things in life. God is not small, God is not average, and he does not settle for ordinary or normal. God's vision and God's dream for your life will be larger than you feel capable of accomplishing on your own. People will almost always, now please hear me, because I'm about to start talking about a vision now, and why we name this church Vision Church. People will almost always carry a dream before they catch a vision. There's a difference. Turn with me to John chapter 9. John, the Gospel of John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. I'm about to get really excited in here. The difference between a dream and a vision. Most people will carry a dream before they ever catch a vision. And there is a difference. Dreams normally come first, and they are abstract. They paint a little bit of the picture. They shed a little bit of the light. But a vision gives you direction. Now look at this. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Listen to this. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Say that out loud with me. He had been blind from birth. Say that loud. Okay. Verse 2. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents? Jesus responds, it was not because of his sins or his parents. Jesus answered, he was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I'm still here in the world, I am the light of the world. Now watch this, verse 6. Then he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva, and he smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes, and he told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So he went and was washed and came back seeing. John chapter 9 shows a man who had been born blind. He was blind from birth, and Jesus walks across his path. And when Jesus sees him, he does the craziest thing in the world, and he spits down into the mud and rubs the mud over his eyes, tells him to wash it off, and then the man sees for the very first time. There's a few really important things that it's critical for you to catch from John 9. Number one, I had you repeat this back to me. The man had been blind how long? Since birth. So imagine if you can, never have been able to behold the beautiful creation that God has all around us. Imagine never knowing what color looks like. Imagine never knowing what your mother looks like. Imagine never knowing what you even look like. You have no comprehension of what it means to see. So I guarantee you that that blind man in John 9, he dreamed all of his life of being able to see someday. I guarantee you that was his dream every waking moment. I guarantee you that it was on his mind that he dreamed of seeing every day of his life. I guarantee you that he was a dreamer. He had to be, because he had no sight to go by. Then one man came along named Jesus and changed all of that forever and gave sight to the blind. Now, there's a couple things in here that you have to understand about having a dream and having a vision. Number one is this. Vision comes to those who are already dreaming. Vision, the plan, the detail, the path to navigate your life, the vision, the details that are necessary for you fulfilling your promise. The vision comes to those who are already dreaming. If the blind man had never been dreaming, he had never been expecting, he was content and happy with where he was, Jesus would have probably just passed him by. Because what did Jesus say time and time again? He said, it is your faith that has made you whole. It's that dreaming that you've been doing, believing that I could do something with your life. It is your faith that has made you whole. Number one, vision comes to dreamers. So keep dreaming. You hear what I'm saying to you? Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Vision comes to dreamers. The dream that you have in your life, doing something great for God, doing something to change your world, doing something to make a difference on your campus or in your city. The dream that God will give you is a dream that is great. The dream that God will give you is a dream that is extraordinary. The dream that He'll give you is something that's bigger than you can handle on your own. So there's another really powerful truth hidden here in this parable or in this story in John 9. Not only does vision come to those who are already dreaming, but now look at this. Only God can give a vision. Now hear me, hear me. I said earlier that dreams can come from three places, right? God, the devil, you, right? Remember that? Vision, the plan, the course to fulfill that dream, the devil can't give you that. And you can't get it on your own, and I can't give it to you. Only He can give sight to the blind. Only He can give vision to your dream. Only He can give you the direction and the step to take in your life. You still don't believe me? All right, I'm going to show you one more verse. Check this out. John chapter 10, just flip the page. John chapter 10, verse 19. Only God can give vision. John chapter 10, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he had a devil, and he's mad. Why do you hear him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil, for can a devil open the eyes of the blind? I'm going to take a time out, and I'm going to explain this really quickly. John chapter 10, what I just read to you, these are the Pharisees and Jews responding to Jesus saying, I am the Savior of the world, and I have the power to lay down my life and bring it back up again. So their reaction to Jesus was, you're demon-possessed. You're a madman. You're crazy. But then after they were quarreling amongst themselves, came to this conclusion, they said what? Surely Jesus can't be mad. He can't be possessed of a demon. He can't be evil. For only God can give sight to the blind. Only God can give vision to your dream. Only God can give vision to your destiny. Only God can awaken you to the newness and the pursuit of your dream and your calling. Anybody hear what I'm saying today? Dreams are abstract. Vision is detail. Dreams give you a little bit of a light, but vision tells you where to take the next step. Vision guides you along the way. Vision gives sight to the blind. Vision provides direction towards your destiny. There are many people who are stuck and stagnant in their life. They have a great destiny. They have unlimited potential. You might be one of those people that you have all the potential in the world, but you're in the same place today that you were 3 years ago, and you wonder why you haven't made much progress. You wonder why you haven't been able to step into your promise. Hebrews says that we are not of them who draw back, but we step forward towards the promises and the callings that God has for our life. People are stuck and stagnant because they have yet to receive the vision from God. Every person alive is able to see the spirit things that God would reveal to him. The question is, are you willing to look? Are you willing to listen? Y'all still okay? Go like this if you're okay. I'm not going to preach much longer, so don't get scared. We don't do that here. We're not Pharaoh in Exodus. We believe in letting God's people go. That's not original. Don't give me credit. I'm going to rewind now a little bit. I've done a little bit of preaching to you. I'm going to press rewind, and I'm going to go back a little bit. I told you that when I was 13 years old, I was a dreamer. I had a dream to do great things for God. I had a dream to preach to the world. I had a dream to preach to thousands of people. I had all these dreams, and I never once dreamed of planting a church. I never once dreamed of pastoring a church. Never once did I dream it. But there came a time when I went to Bible college. Listen to this. I went to Bible college in Alexandria, Louisiana, which was 15 hours away from my home, leaving everything that was familiar to me, leaving all my family, all my friends behind in pursuit of the calling that God had placed on my life. And I went to Louisiana believing that I would be an evangelist, that I would be somebody who spoke all over the place. But I went to Louisiana with a dream, but I came back with a vision. Because while I was there, God spoke something very profound to my life, and here it is. God said to me, Tyson, if you evangelize and you go out and you preach the gospel to the entire world and you see the entire world get saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, but you don't disciple anyone ever, what have you accomplished? Now, I don't know if that hits you like it hit me. I don't know if that pushes your buttons like it pushes mine. But that, when I heard that from God, that was the moment that my dream transformed into a vision. And I said, my God, we must disciple people. We must teach him of the goodness of God. And the best tool to disciple people in the modern world is the local church, being advanced by the Spirit of the living God, by the Spirit of the living God working through multiplication, through the lives of every individual who's touched by his presence. The greatest way that the disciple model can work in our world today is for me to touch one person with the truth and the power of God, spilling out and pouring out everything that I have into them, and them turning around and pouring it back out into the lives of people that they come in contact with. And pretty soon, what started with one, what started with one vision, what started with one passion, one light, became a great fire that spread and lit many, many people on fire and ablaze with the passions of heaven. And that is the model of the church. The church is not about the pastor or the pastors doing the work. It is about you being filled with the Spirit of the living God yourself, and you having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, a desire for the knowledge and the goodness of God, and you being discipled back into the image and the likeness of God, not so that you can be a perfect Christian and a righteous person and escape hell, but so that you can turn around and pour it into the lives of those who are spiritual. Spiritually dead and far from the name of Jesus. It is all about you, and it is all about the lives that have been changed. And I'm thankful today that God interrupts our dreams with a vision that spills perfect purpose into our life and makes sense of it all. Give him praise this morning and bless his name. The other thing that God revealed to me when I was in Louisiana is that your dream doesn't have to die when you get the vision. The vision just enhances the way that you're going to accomplish it. That was 6 years ago that I stood in Alexandria, Louisiana, and God spoke to me to plant this church 6 years ago. 3 months ago, September, I guess we're going on 4 months now, that vision, that dream came to life. Is it perfect? Mm-mm. Far from it. But is Jesus being glorified and doing the work that he said he would do? You better believe it. Since we've opened these doors, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to brag on y'all just for a second. Since we've opened these doors, we've had humble beginnings, and that is perfectly okay with me, because little is much when God is in it. And when things start humbly, to God alone be the glory for what he does in his church. But in September 2012, we opened this church for the very first time. And since that day, September 9th, there have been 9 people who have given their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 9 people who have been snatched from the fires of hell and experienced the newness of life through Christ Jesus. And if it was just one, the vision would have been worth it all. The Spirit of the Lord is moving here. Not only have 9 people been saved in 3 months here, but people are being discipled and being poured into and being ministered to. And family or friends, people who came into this ministry or into this community as friends, are now growing closer and becoming like family. Another thing that you don't realize about this church is that we made a decision from the very beginning that we would give back 10% of every dollar that came in back to this community. Because I believe if the church were to dry up and leave and the community wouldn't notice, we failed and we missed our mark. The community should know that we're here, that we're alive, and that we care. Been here for a little over 3 months, and this church has given back over $3,000 to Metro School and this community. And that might not sound like a lot to you, but it's a lot to God, and it's a lot to the kids and the children's lives who have been touched by your giving. You are making a difference, and this vision that has come to life is only getting started. Not only that, but I want to tell you a little bit more about what your church is doing, because, and if you're here for the first time, this is great for you to know this. This church also has already given birth to a homeless ministry that meets and works the streets of Uptown Charlotte every Saturday. TJ, where are you at? TJ, stand up for a second. I know you don't want this. Give this man a hand, please. Somebody give this man a hand. Brother, we love you, and we are behind you, and we support you, and I know that it's not just you. There's Greg Brill, there's Kylie Nall, there's Eli, there's a bunch of other people that have rallied around him to help make that reality. But vision is contagious, and when you walk it out, and when you're bold enough to put your dream into motion, it sparks other visions and other dreams that come to life. And who would have ever dreamed that something like that would happen? Just to let you know, it's not about like 2 people that just go walk up and down those streets. In the last 3 months, they've given away 150 winter jackets to the homeless of Uptown Charlotte so they could make it through the winter. Can I get an amen? Can somebody bless the name of Jesus for what's happening? Not only that, but about a month and a half ago, they fed over 125 homeless people lunch and loved on them. And during that time, 5 of them got saved. We fed 125, and 5 of them came to Jesus. That's not counting the 9 that have already been saved in this place. Not only that, I'm going to keep preaching just a little bit longer. Just hang in there. You need to understand how the Lord works, and you need to see it in real life because it's all around you. We do a little thing called C4 on Sunday nights. Many of you probably know what that is. If you don't, it's a college ministry that we started at UNC Charlotte almost 4 years ago. We started it before we started this church. And just so you know, ministry is expensive. It ain't cheap. It doesn't just fall in your lap. It's hard work, and it is expensive. And this church now carries C4 and pays for its bills so that it can operate freely, free from any debt, free from any expenses, and it operates, and many more have come to know Jesus this last semester there. And this church is a direct result of lives being changed over there. Y'all were doing more things than you even knew you were doing just by being a part of this place. Give the Lord praise. I don't know if you get it. When dreams come to life, the glory of God is revealed. If you'd stand with me and if the band would come back, I had a whole lot more to preach to you. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell you the rest of what's on my heart today. I didn't say that to brag on anything that we've done. Because I'm going to tell you something. If it was up to me or up to my knowledge, we would have failed long ago. But the fact that those things have happened, all glory belongs to Christ Jesus, our Lord, alone. For it is in him, through him, and by him that it's all come to reality. He's the only one that can give vision. He's the only one that can see it through. He promised that he'd be the author and the finisher of our faith, and we're watching that happen in motion. So every week that we're in this place, we're watching and hearing the stories of what God is doing, and it is absolutely incredible and phenomenal. But I want to speak to you really quickly before we leave this place today. And I want to challenge you from Luke chapter 14. You don't have to turn there, but it says this. Jesus declares in Luke chapter 14, he says, before you do the dream that you have on your heart, before you start to put it into motion, he tells you to count the cost before you start to step out by faith and do your dream. And there are some of you today, and you have dreams, you have visions, you have promises and potential and destiny unprecedented in your life. But I want to challenge you and I want to urge you, before you jump into it blindly, number one, check the source like we talked about earlier. And number two, before you do it, count the cost. When Jesus says in Luke 14 to count the cost, he's not saying count the cost to see if it's worth doing or not. Because the dreams that God gives you and the visions that God gives you, it's always worth doing. There's never a question. The question is not, is it worth it? The price is always worth it. The question is, are you ready and are you prepared for what you're going to face? Because when you walk out on your dream, there's going to be haters that come up all around you. When you walk out on your dream, you might find yourself feeling lonely and alone. When you walk out on your dream, you might be misunderstood by those closest to you. Your family might misunderstand you. Your friends might never understand the calling and the purposes of God that are in your life that you're walking towards. It may not make sense to everybody. But we live with this false idea that when we start to do what God has called us to, when we start to live it out by faith, we have this thought that people are going to applaud us and line up and cheer us and pat us on the back and say, good job. It's not going to happen. But we don't do it for man's glory, and we don't do it for man's approval, and don't do your dream, and don't follow your vision for what man can give back to you. Count the cost. Know that it will not be easy, but know this, that you will never walk alone, for he is Emmanuel, God with us, all the days of our life. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. Thank you, Father, for your spirit, for it is the most important thing we could ever experience. I pray that you would do a work inside of us today. Those of us who have been afraid to step out and to start doing the things that you've called us to do, I pray that that fear would subside. I pray for supernatural boldness to rise up inside of us, that we would take our place and we would stand for truth, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, and that we would advance boldly and ferociously with the vision and the calling that you have on our life. And for those that are in this room today and they're not able to pinpoint their dream, they're not able to pinpoint their vision, they haven't quite figured it out yet, I pray, Holy Spirit, that by your power, that you would bring revelation into their life and that they would see and catch a glimpse of what you have for them, and they would never lose sight of who you are along the way. Father, we worship you, we trust you, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we expect that with 2013 and the days that are ahead will be far greater than the days we left behind. We worship you. We bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking more in depth about the vision behind Vision Church. And there is a lot more to it than this. And if I tried to cram it all into 1 week, it would be, you'd be here till 4 o'clock and then y'all would be hating me and you would never come see me again. So we're going to save it for next week. Come back next week. Listen to our vision for discipleship. Listen to what our vision is on how we're going to make a significant difference in this city. And we're not in this to play church. We're not in this to make you feel good or feel comfortable. We're in this to do the work of the Lord. And if with us. Our arms are wide open, and we believe that great things are in front of us. Thank you for being with us this morning. Let's worship. Let's bless the name of the Lord. These altars are open. If you want to come and kneel, you want to pray, you want to repent of some things that are going on in your life, these altars are wide open. We'll gladly be here to pray with you. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.